Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. Today we will talk with a man who does RV inspections as well as repairs while he travels between his summer home in Toronto and his winter home wherever he wants that to be. Today's episode is sponsored by The Dreamer's Journey, a new online course and community produced by Work Camper News. Life is way too short to keep your dreams on hold, so don't be held back by fear because you were designed for more. Get started in the RV lifestyle the right way with this comprehensive guide. For a monthly subscription fee, people can participate in two online webinars every week to learn things like what type of RV to buy, goal setting, how to budget for the adventure, developing a positive mindset, where to call home, and how to find a job or start a mobile business. All online events will be recorded for watching anytime. Subscribers can also join an open question and answer session once each month. For more information, visit www.rvdreamersjourney.com. Brian Carbonell and his wife bought an RV in 2013 when they opted to embrace the full-time RV lifestyle. However, as soon as he bought the unit, he discovered problems with it. Lots of problems. In the process of getting them fixed, he learned about training being offered by the Mobile RV Academy, which was the predecessor of the National RV Training Academy. His goal was to learn more about how RVs work so he could better hold manufacturers and repair facilities accountable to the things they said and the promises they made. He also wanted to learn to fix minor problems by himself. However, while taking that class, he learned of the opportunity to become an RV inspector and mobile repair technician. By taking one more week of classes, he could become a Level 2 inspector and an NRVTA certified RV technician so that he could fix problems for other RVers too. If Brian had the ability to have his own RV inspected before he bought it, he said he may not have had as many issues with the RV as he did. And now that he has had the training, he doesn't really need to rely on repair centers nearly as much as he used to. He describes the training he had and how it prepared him to inspect and repair RVs. Although some people can learn by just reading books, Brian really enjoyed watching videos and getting his hands dirty during the hands-on labs. In the summer, he does more repairs than inspections. In fact, Brian said there are only 4 certified inspectors in all of Canada, but demand is growing as people learn that this type of service is available. However, in the winter, he does more inspections on the road and still fills in the gaps by doing repairs. Brian typically picks an area he wants to visit and finds a place to call home for several months. Then he markets his ability to do inspections within a certain distance around that area. And just letting people in the campground know that he can repair RVs is often enough to keep the phone ringing. Brian explains how he gets the word out to find inspections and repair jobs, and he also talks about how much money he can make as well as the challenges he has faced while running the businesses. To share his story and his motivation for becoming an inspector and learning to fix problems for other people, please welcome Brian Carbonell to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Brian. I really appreciate it. Tell us a little bit about yourself, like where you're from and what you do.
Okay, so my name is Brian Carbonell. I am a RV inspector and a mobile RV technician. In the summer, we're based in just outside of Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And in the winter, we head south to some place that doesn't have snow on the ground. Neither my wife nor I like the snow.
And that means you must cross the border then, right? Because Canada is nothing but snow in the winter.
For the most part, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's some spots out west in Vancouver Island that don't get snow, but it's still too cold. Cold, wet, rainy.
Okay.
We like sun. And sun in 80 degrees is a good spot for us.
So why did you decide to become an inspector?
So back in 2013, my wife and I became full-time. We bought a brand new fifth wheel. We had some issues with it. We ended up having to take it to the factory in Indiana 3 times. Just before the third and final trip to the factory, we found out about Cooper and Lady E and the Mobile RV Academy teaching the inspector's course, or actually I guess it'd be the level one course, in Shipshawana 2 weeks prior to our factory appointment. And I wanted to get some more information to be more prepared to call out the manufacturer's repair facility saying, you know, this is what you guys said, but in reality, it's this. I just needed some more information to be able to say that, you know, whether I felt that they did a proper job or not. During that course, we found out about the second course, the level two course, which was the following week, which was the week before our third appointment to become a level two inspector. And did that as well, because not only did we need the information for us, we were seeing the need for it. You know, save people like ourselves from ourselves. Really, we spent, you know, a couple of years researching our fifth wheel. It was a fantastic unit, but it had problems. And I think if we had known about inspectors and had it inspected beforehand, that we might not have had as many issues as we did.
Okay, that's fair enough. And then after you became an inspector, you sought additional training to become a technician?
Yeah, and through the work with as a technician, or as an inspector, sorry, I found that there was a real need for qualified technicians. People that show up when they say they're going to show up, do what they say they're going to do, be fair, be honest. We'd seen too many people get bad advice, poor repairs, shoddy repairs, technicians, mobile technicians that just didn't show up, didn't answer their phone. So we got in the business to help people. As full-timers, you know, sometimes you need help. So we wanted to be those people to help.
Okay, that's fair enough. And so you've been doing this since 2013? Is that what you said?
We went full-time in 2013. We've been doing inspections and repairs since 2015.
Is most of your business involved in inspections, or is it involved with the repair side?
Mostly it's been repairs. This year has been... we'll just call it an odd year. We don't have a lot of inspections in Canada. Up until January of this year, I was the only certified inspector in Canada. Now there's 4 of us that are certified. So it's hard to market to people when you're the only one that's available to do the work.
Right.
You know, it's hard to advertise in one area and say to somebody on the other side of the country that, sorry, we can't help you because we're 3,000 miles away from you. It's been a slow adoption up here in Canada. A lot of my calls are actually in Western New York and the Detroit area of Michigan. We're lucky where we are. We're about 110 miles from Buffalo, Niagara Falls, and about 250 from Detroit.
Okay.
So a lot of our inspections are actually on the other side of the border. Luckily, I'm a status North American Indian, so I'm actually legally allowed to work on both sides of the border.
Okay.
So I think I'm in a very unique position that I can do inspections in Canada, and when there aren't any up here, I can go into New York or Detroit or Michigan and do inspections there and still work when we go south in the winter.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any problems this year crossing the border to do inspections?
I've had to turn down, because the border is closed to non-essential traffic, we can't cross the border.
Okay.
So I've had to turn down probably over a dozen inspections just because I can't cross the border.
Kind of tells me
there's... So what I do... Sorry, go ahead.
That kind of tells me there's a demand for inspections.
Absolutely. There absolutely is. What we do, we're upfront with the people that contact us, say, we would love to help you out, but we can't cross the border. And here are some names of some inspectors that are further away, but hopefully one of them would be able to help them out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we don't leave the customers high and dry. We give them some options, whether they take them up, whether they follow through or not, we don't know. But at least we've given them as much help as we can with the limited ability for us to cross the border right now.
Still, four inspectors in all of Canada, that's quite a territory to try and manage all of the RVs that are sold up there.
It absolutely is. It's starting to pick up. People are starting to realize the value up here, and we are getting calls from Canadians wanting Canadian inspections. We did one earlier this week, a toy hauler. We did one earlier in the spring, and we're doing one, I think it's 2 weeks from now, a brand new motorhome.
Okay, very good. When you went through training, that was down in Texas, or did you take part in the mobile training when that was being offered?
We did the mobile training. It was our classes were in our level one class was in Shipshawana with Cooper, and our level two class was in Middlebury with Pam and Howard Jarrus.
Okay, what did the training involve to become an inspector?
So the first week was. Both weeks were hands-on. The first week was more learning about how the systems in your RV work, electrical theory, propane theory, the basics of how a fridge works, the basics of how a water heater works, the basics of how a furnace works. About 80% of any repairs, if you have the knowledge, you can do. The other 20% are... either they're difficult to do, need specialized equipment, or are just outside of a typical person's capabilities. So that was the first week. It's learning how the systems work, how they work together. And then the second week was concentrated on how to do a full level two thorough inspection. All hands-on. We were out looking at units. We were doing a full inspection report. Actually, two of them, one on a motorized unit, one on a towable unit. And long days, lots of hard work, lots of information, but well worth it.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Is there anything in the training that really stood out to you as being interesting or helpful to you in deciding to build your business or go in a different direction?
For us, it was actually more the instructors. Their passion about helping people, it struck a chord with us. And it's like, it helped us decide that, yes, this is something that we want to do. Because we want to help people, we want to make sure that people don't get in the same situation that we were in of having a unit that had issues that really didn't know what or how to deal with them.
Okay.
But Cooper and Howard's passion for what they do, that really struck a chord with us. That really helped us decide that, yeah, this is something that's worthwhile. It's something that's needed, and something that we could get behind and actually do ourselves.
Did the hands-on labs really help you, I guess, put pieces of the puzzle together?
Absolutely. Some people learn by books. Some people can learn by watching videos. I've got to get my hands dirty to actually learn. I can pick up some stuff reading books. I can pick up some stuff watching videos. But until I actually, get my hands on that, whatever, that control board and how it plugs in here and how it connects to that, that's when, for me, that's when the learning gets really solidified in my brain. It was two worthwhile weeks for me.
Okay. Do you specialize in inspecting specific types of RVs like travel trailers or motorhomes, or do you do them all?
We do them all. We've actually done everything from a hybrid, a little 14 or 16 foot hybrid, all the way up to a 45 foot Class A diesel pusher, tag axle, all the bells and whistles, and everything in between.
Okay. And
so we don't specialize. Anybody needs an inspection, we're more than happy to help them out.
When you are repairing RVs, do you specialize in particular types of RVs for that?
We don't specialize. We do particularly in the winter when we're down south, we do a lot of aqua hot work on the hydronic systems.
Okay.
But we'll fix anything. Right now, the only thing that we really cannot work on is propane systems. Here in Ontario is one of the toughest jurisdictions to get propane certification. So we don't have that yet, but we're working on it.
Okay.
It's about a 2-year process.
Okay. And where do you do your inspections? You said mostly locally, but you're also mobile. So are you looking for people to inspect or RVs to inspect when you're out traveling?
Yes. When we're traveling, what we do is we've got our website. We're also listed on the National RV Inspectors Association website, and we update our locations as to where we are, so that when people are looking for an inspector, they can find us wherever we happen to be at the time.
Okay. And are you able to find enough inspections to make it worth your while when you're out traveling or when you're in a temporary location?
It depends on the location. It truly does. When we're in Florida in the winter, there's definitely no shortage of work. When we're traveling from Florida to home, we're usually on a short timeline, a week, 2 weeks. So we don't tend to stop and do inspections. However, if somebody's looking for one and we can accommodate them, we do.
Okay.
But when we're on, most of our traveling is done kind of major north to south or south to north. And then once we hit north, then we'll do a little bit of more local travel. And then when we hit south in the winter, we do more along the lines of local travel. So we're not in Florida today and Alabama tomorrow and Mississippi next week and Texas the week after. And that's not how we travel.
Okay. But just updating your location on the NRVIA website is enough to generate at least some interest in getting inspections
Absolutely.
In the areas you're visiting? Okay. How many?
Absolutely. I'd say probably, I'm going to say easily 75 to 80% of our initial contacts and clients come from the NRVIA website.
Well, that's pretty remarkable. So it's a good, good thing to be involved with that group, it sounds like.
Absolutely. The organization is fantastic. The people are incredible. We've made some really good friends that are RV inspectors that we never have met had it not been for the NRVIA and the work that we do.
How many inspections do you typically do in, say, a month?
typically for us, because of where we are in the summer, we'll probably do about one a month. If we're lucky, it's two. When we're in Florida in the winter, it tends to go up to three, four a month, kind of one, maybe one a week, one every other week kind of numbers.
Okay. And so you're doing this pretty much part-time?
Yes. Okay. The rest of the time is quite often is filled with repairs, to be perfectly honest.
With repairs. All right. So, and that's enough to keep you busy too?
Yes. Oh, it's enough to keep me more than busy. And so, and there's been weeks where I haven't had a day off.
Wow.
Monday to Sunday. Yeah. It's crazy.
And that's even up there in Canada?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And you're
we have the same issues with dealerships up here. There's just not enough skilled technicians, and they're so backlogged that it's a month before you can get into a dealer. So And people don't want to drop their units off at a dealer to have it sit on their lot in the summer, for a month while they're getting parts and all the rest of that. So at least if I go to them, they can still enjoy camping, yet know that their camper will be fixed.
Okay. So you are only, I shouldn't say only, you have just completed the first two classes to become a technician. You have not completed all of the advanced classes to become a certified RV technician. Is that right?
That's correct. What I have done is I studied for and wrote the RVIA, RVDA certified technician exam, which I passed. So I'm a certified, an RVIA, RVDA certified technician.
Okay.
I haven't gone through the advanced classes at the NRVTA.
Okay. That's good enough. And how long do your inspections typically take?
Depending on the unit, it can take as little as 3 to 4 hours. If it's a smaller unit with, we offer two different levels of inspection. We've got what we call our safety essentials, which is just a basic overview focusing on safety items, fire extinguishers, detectors, propane, tires, suspension, stuff that can adversely affect, someone's life. Mm-hmm. And then we have our full comprehensive inspection that is kind of a soup to nuts thing. We go through in great detail the entire unit on the roof, underneath, inside, in cupboards, and under drawers. So our safety essentials, typically take between 3 and 4 hours to complete. And then our comprehensive inspections take anywhere from 6 to 8 hours, depending on the size of the unit that we're inspecting.
Okay. How do you price your inspections?
The way I've priced my inspections is I've looked at kind of how long it takes me, and I get a feel for what other inspectors are charging. I don't want to undercut anybody, but I also don't want to be, four times the price of anybody else. So I kind of have a feel for how long it takes and what the market is in the area, and that's how I price it. I price it that in U.S. dollars, and then from that U.S. dollar pricing, my Canadian pricing, I'll take into account currency conversion, exchange rates, so that somebody from Buffalo or Niagara Falls, New York, and somebody from Niagara Falls, Ontario, they're paying about the same price, give or take, depending on the fluctuation. Just, I don't want to undercharge anybody, and I also don't want to overcharge anybody.
Okay. So on an inspection standpoint, what would you say a typical monthly income would be for you since you're doing it part-time?
So if I do, let's say I do two a month, probably it's going to be about $1,200 or $1,400.
Okay,
somewhere in that neighborhood.
That's decent income for a part-time job or part-time business.
It absolutely. If you do one, then you're $600 to $700 a month.
Okay,
one a month.
And for the technician side or the for repair side, what would you say is typical of somebody who is working today, fixing repairs, knowing that you've got the certification in there and the introductory training?
Mobile service techs typically charge, I'm going to say kind of in the $100 an hour neighborhood. Some charge a mobile service call, some charge mileage, some charge their hourly rate from the time they leave their place to the time they get to wherever the repair is, and some don't. We charge a flat fee to get from our place to the campground or the driveway or wherever the unit happens to be. We charge $75 for a mobile service call, and that gets us 50 miles from where we are.
Okay.
And then we charge $100 an hour for labor time,
mm-hmm.
and plus parts.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense.
And then, everybody's favorite, we also have to charge tax.
Of course. Yeah, government's got to get a part of your business somehow.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so working more doing repairs, you're making more money now as a repair technician than you are as an inspector.
I am. Depending on the day, some days it's much harder to do the work as a technician than it is an inspector. And other days the inspector is harder than the repairs.
Okay, right.
So it really depends on, you know, where people's interests lie. If your interest is in repairs and you like troubleshooting and figuring out problems that make you go, huh? Then a technician's where it's at. If you like, you know, being meticulous and going through everything in great detail, then an inspector is probably the better way for you to go.
Okay. That makes sense. Are there any expenses that offset that income?
So we have to have insurance, business insurance. We have general liability in case, you know, we knock a ladder over and go through somebody's sidewall or window or something like that. We also have professional liability in case we miss something. It protects us. So we've got that insurance. We've got commercial insurance on our truck because it's carrying our parts, our tools. It's taking us to and from the inspections. Those are the main costs.
Okay. Any licensing fees and things like that?
None that we've run across yet.
And you have your NRVIA annual membership too?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. All right, but it sounds like
and
that's worth it to get access to that website.
Absolutely. For us, it's definitely worth it.
Okay. Is there enough demand for, well, we've kind of talked about that. Do you think there is enough demand for somebody to make a decent income doing inspections or even repairs on a part-time basis?
I think so. You know, it really depends on how motivated they are.
Mm-hmm.
If they want the inspections to come to them, want somebody else to hand it to them, then probably not, unless you happen to be in a really high demand area. But if you're willing to, you know, market yourself, whether it's a website or shirts or signs or talking to local dealerships, RV groups, whether they're online or, you know, like, escapees, groups, if you're willing to spend the time to market yourself, then absolutely you can definitely make a decent part-time income or a full-time income. It just really depends on how much work you want to put into it.
A lot of people, they don't get a lot of training in how to run a business. And so they might approach this from kind of a job mentality that they just turn on a switch and the income just flows in. That's not the case. How hard do you have to work to really promote your business?
We probably spend probably 10 hours a week, you know, whether it's just talking to people or answering questions on online forums, talking to dealerships, talking to campgrounds. In the spring, when the campgrounds were finally allowed to open, we spent a Saturday afternoon driving around to local campgrounds, dropping off business cards saying, hey, you know, we're in the area. We're new in the area because we've just moved. And here's some cards. This is what we do. And, you know, we understand that you're just opening. So we don't want to take a lot of, we didn't want to take a lot of their time. So we dropped some cards off and that's helped. We're getting calls from different campgrounds. We're getting calls from RV dealerships where we drop cards off.
Okay.
We spent the time up front to go and talk to these people and say, hey, this is us. We're not trying to step on anybody's toes. If you've got mobile techs of your own, that's fine. We're just, you know, we're introducing ourselves and we're out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like a real successful way of getting your name out there just by approaching the campgrounds.
Absolutely. We've got two that are within 20-minute drive of us where we are right now. And I'd say probably 60% of my calls are from those two campgrounds.
Okay. So that's very convenient. Has there been any other promotions that you've done that have worked really well in getting the phone to ring on your end?
No, that's really all we've done. Besides the, you know, the usual, website and social media presence and that kind of stuff. Going to the dealerships and the campgrounds have really made, a big difference.
Okay. And what are some of the biggest surprises that you've uncovered while you've been working as an inspector?
Surprises in how do you mean? In terms of things that we've seen or business surprises?
Exactly. Well, let's start with things that you've seen that have been like, wow, it's probably a good reason or good thing you had your RV inspected.
Well, the biggest one was we did an inspection on a toy hauler that had some serious delamination, had a hole in the plywood decking on the roof where it had rotted away. And I don't think that the customer, they had already looked at it, but I'm not sure that they actually understood what they saw with the delamination in the sidewall.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It was surprising. But the bigger surprising part was, I think, I don't know if they did buy it, but I got the impression that they were okay with the damage that was there, providing that the roof got resealed by the dealer. Is kind of the sense I was getting from the conversation. We're there to give them the information so that they can make their own decision based on what we've found. We're not there to say, don't buy this unit because it's not worthwhile. We're there to say, okay, it has delamination. It's got an issue with the sealant on the roof. This air conditioner doesn't work. It's got a soft spot in the floor.
Okay.
It's all stuff that they may or may not have seen. But now they've got the information to make their decision based on what's important to them.
Have you had any challenges business-wise? Things that you kind of wish you knew before going into it or that you learned afterwards that have really helped?
For us, because of our unique situation, Canadian-based business working both in Canada and the U.S., For us, banking was the biggest challenge.
Oh, yeah.
It's still a challenge. It's still a challenge for us. Mm-hmm. We're having challenges opening a U.S. business account because we're a Canadian corporation. I think I truly think that we just happen to be getting caught up in the anti-money laundering, anti-terrorism mm-hmm. banking laws. I don't think it's intentional to stop us from working. It's the way the laws were written, and we just haven't found the right people to help us navigate those to do it properly. That won't cost us $200 a month.
Okay. Would you recommend being an inspector or technician to other people?
Absolutely. Like I said earlier, if you're the kind of person that likes to figure out puzzles, then a technician is probably not a bad fit, especially if you're handy with your hands. If you're really detailed oriented, and an inspector is probably a good route for you.
Do you have a preference?
My preference is inspections. I like doing inspections. And what I like about inspections is I get to help people that are entering the RVing lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that as full-timers for the last 8 years now, we really love. And we want people to enjoy the lifestyle without the headaches that we got initially.
Are you living full-time even in Canada in an RV?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Super. What do you like most about that?
We love the people. It really is the people that we meet. RVers seem to be some of the friendliest, nicest people that we've ever met.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, do you have any advice to technicians or inspectors?
My advice is if you're thinking about it, do it. If nothing else, you'll come away with knowledge that will help you, particularly if you're an RVer, it will help you maintain and work on your own rig to save repair costs. And you might just find that, you know, the business is worthwhile to helping people.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Brian. I really appreciate the time, and I wish you the best of luck in both of your businesses.
Thanks, Greg. It's my pleasure to help. I think it's a great investment in time and knowledge, and we love helping people. So,
I appreciate Brian Carbonell taking time from his busy summer schedule to talk to us about his RV inspection and repair business. For him, it's an ideal business to run from his RV. It gives him the ability to make money wherever he goes and the flexibility to spend time wherever he and his family want to travel. The rules with the National RV Inspectors Association prevent Brian from fixing problems on the RV that he has inspected because it would be a conflict of interest. Yet demand for RV repairs combined with the incredible shortage of RV technicians still keeps him more than busy. He has not had all the advanced training courses offered by the National RV Training Academy, but he did take enough classes to become an NRVTA certified RV technician. Although he has become proficient in RV hydronic systems, and he really can't do propane repairs in Canada, there is still enough basic work to keep him busy and the money flowing in. Just doing two inspections a month can bring in $1,400 on average, and he can more than double that by completing minor repairs where he can charge $100 per hour. There are very few expenses, like insurance, that are deducted from his monthly income. He doesn't have to do a lot of promotion either. For the repair business, that often involves investing a Saturday, dropping off business cards at local campgrounds and RV dealerships. For the inspection business, he simply updates the location in his profile at the National RV Inspectors Association. Brian's situation is generally more complicated than it would be for other RV technicians and inspectors because he lives and works in both Canada and the United States. Other full-time RVers wouldn't have those challenges. Still, Brian recommends that full-timers who love solving puzzles consider becoming mobile technicians. People who are more detail-oriented will enjoy being an RV inspector. They are both ideal work camping businesses to operate from the road. You can learn more about becoming an inspector or a mobile RV technician at the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas. The Academy's one-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know to fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can also sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvta.com. Work Camper News, a magazine and online publication, connects RVers to full and part-time jobs around the country. Whether it is running a business from your RV or working short-term jobs for a variety of employers, Work Camper News can give you information to help you plan a course to live your own dream and get you on the road faster than you thought possible. For more information about opportunities to live, work, and play in your RV, visit www.workcampernews.com. That's all we have for this week's show. Next time, we'll talk with a full-time RVer who loves the lifestyle and how work camping makes it all possible. We'll see you next week on The Work Camper Show. Thanks for listening.